Rich money, rich money, rich store, 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 keep it locked, 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 locked.
This is Elias, and you're listening to G2 Palace Radio. Follow me, yeah, follow me.
Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, Real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
This is Isaiah, and on Friday night, I listen to GQ Palace Radio.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover CN Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Y'all wanna pile on me, make it hard for me to breathe. Throw sand in my eyes and make it hard for me to see. Out of breath, can't see, feel hard to defeat. The history that I made, impossible to repeat. Spread rumors, point fingers, throw stones, judge me. Hate me, love me, hug me, curse me. Whatever, cause y'all not gonna pay it, don't see me. I'm clever, enough to know that the
rich money, don't.
I'm opposite of the demon that faces me. I've been through hell, lived in the belly of the beast. I confess my sins, but still didn't find people like MJ and Five. I will 16.
Rich money,
the hood first, cause that's where I'm from. That's why the hood is always first to help me overcome. When I'm down, some of y'all cats act so strange. When I'm up, same cats wonder why I act so strange.
Don't
help me change, please. You bitches are so lame. Something ain't y'all fault, and y'all so quick to blame. That's why I got number one on the back of my range. Y'all cats is full playing. I'm pregnant by
rich,
the game.
Rich money, don't.
But I'm a child of God, so my destiny's ordained.
Yeah.
Undisputed is a title I claim. Not to shoot the world up with this biblical cocaine.
Rich money, rich money,
I'm about to bring the pain. Left jab, right hook, shedding down your brain.
Yeah.
I could be surrounded by lions in the midst of the jungle, and still I'm a rumble, young man, rumble.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, ready, entertain with your host, Rich Money. Rich Money, don't keep it locked.
All right, y'all, stay right there, don't move. We have the one and only Kitty Bay coming up, and we're going to talk to her about her novel, her series, Kitty City, and she got a lot of other things going on, so stay right there and don't move. This is Rich Money and Storm. GQ Palace Radio, love it, entertainment, it's butter.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Radio. Entertained. With your host, Rich Money. Rich Money. Storm. Keep it.
Definitely an honor having you on. Now,
thank you. It's my pleasure. You got to tell them, though, you didn't ask for me. I came, right? I kind of stalked you for a minute, right?
Yes.
I was like, excuse
that's why
me.
So
I went in your inbox like, knock, knock. Wait, I went in your inbox like, knock, knock. I'm important. Can I be on your show? Because I'm important. But you were kind to me, though.
She surely did. And I want to tell you, it's definitely an honor. You're doing a lot of big things. A whole lot of big things. We do have some of the cast on. We're going to bring them on as well. But first, you know, let the listeners know something about yourself.
Well, you know, hi, guys. I'm Kitty Bay. I am the best unknown writer, producer, director in the world, right? I started out really just with a dream, right? Since I was a little girl, I've been writing, but I never really pursued it. I did everything else. I danced. I did a lot of other things, but write. And in college, of course, I wrote, you know, wonderful papers, and I wrote other people's papers too, right? But it wasn't until an incident. My son, on July 4th of 2008, my ex-husband stabbed my son and I in our sleep. And that incident just took me to a whole nother level, right, Rich? And so I started writing. But I didn't start writing right away. You know, I got stabbed. I had to regroup. I had to learn some things about myself. I had to gain some self-esteem, right? Because I am a conqueror of domestic violence, and that a conqueror meaning that I actually learn how not to be abused, right? And that makes me a conqueror. I'm more than a survivor, because you can survive the act, but you may go back into another relationship where you're being abused, right? And so I consider myself a conqueror of domestic violence. But it took a lot for me to get to that point. And so I moved to Virginia to write my book. And I wrote a book crossover, and it's adapted from the ESPN story that my son and I have on E60 called Scarred. And then from the book, I wrote the screenplay Kitty City.
Okay. Now, what can you tell the people? I'm asking you this. That's in a domestic violent relationship, what can they do to get out of it? From your point of view, after being through what you've been through, you know, after going through all this, this is what made you go through all this, and, you know, come to the point of writing what you write and everything. What can you tell them?
Well, you know, Rich, the first thing is that people who are not, who have never experienced a domestic violence relationship, because I do want you to understand that men are also victims of domestic violence, right? And so it's not just a female thing anymore. Domestic violence is an act of violence being against a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a friend. And you, if you're in a domestic situation, it's domestic violence. Children are victims of domestic violence. They just call it child abuse, right? But it's really domestic violence. So people who are not familiar with it usually have a different idea of what it is that we decide to do. Like they'll say, well, just leave, right? But it's not that easy. We, and I say we because I was once there, we stay for a lot of different reasons, right? We stay sometimes because financial. We stay sometimes because we're really afraid. And, you know, I had to, let me just go back real quick. You know, when you say, how can they leave? You know, I'm actually an advocate for domestic violence for Brooklyn itself, right? I speak all over the country a lot of times about domestic violence, but Brooklyn is my source, right? Because I love the Brooklyn DA, right? And they gave out these pamphlets to us, and on the pamphlet it said something about he kills in order to gain control. And I stopped them. And I told them, do not hand this pamphlet out because it's wrong. They don't kill to gain control. They kill when they lose control, right? You never hear of a woman being killed until she gets the order of protection, right? Until she leaves, until she tells someone. That's when she gets killed because he feels like he lost control. So he or she feels like they've lost control. So the question is, what do I tell them? How do I tell them? How do I say to leave? How do I get them to leave? You really can't, Rich. You can only provide them with different opportunities to leave, right? The worst thing that a woman could do is to tell a man she's going to leave. Don't tell him. So what we have out here, we have domestic violence shelters. We have the order of protection. We have now the DA before, many years ago, the woman could say, I don't want to press charges against him, right? There's no more of that. The man could say, I don't want to press charges against her. There's no more of that. It doesn't matter if you don't want to press charges. The DA is going to press charges. But in the same sense, it's hard to convict if the woman doesn't want to testify, right? Or the man doesn't want to testify. So what do I say to them? The first thing you have to do is say, why am I in this? What is it about me, right, that makes me stay? It's something in me that says, this is all I deserve, right? And once we get the woman in a position where she can look at herself and say, I don't deserve this, I deserve more, then we provide her with the opportunity to leave. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, a whole lot of sense. Wow. A whole lot of sense. Well, what I want to do, I want to bring on some of the cast members. Okay, the first one we got is Esther. Esther, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Esther.
It's nice to meet you.
Miss Kitty Day. Kitty, Kitty girl.
Listen, Rich. Esther. Listen, Esther, Rich, first of all, Rich, a lot of my cast members say I'm a white girl in a black woman's body. Whatever. I think I am. Because let me tell you, Rich, I love country music, right, Rich? Country music is three chords and the truth, right, Esther?
And exactly.
So
I can play it even on the guitar.
Three chords and the truth. You know, Rich, you know, with country music, I love it because a man who sings country music or a woman who sings country music, they're like, she took the kids and the dog and the fence and she's gone. I mean, it's the truth. They get right to the point. And
exactly.
I met Esther online. Esther is a Hall of Famer, Rich.
Oh.
My family is, yeah.
She is. It's
mm-hmm,
her.
Mm-hmm.
She helped her write the song.
My mom goes way back as a Hall of Famer, and all my brothers are musicians. And my mom wrote part of the song that we're trying to get on Kitty City, and I hope it all worked out. I think it will fit in pretty good.
Yeah, but, it's actually a great song. It's actually my opening theme, Rich.
Yeah.
And it's different, you know. Kitty, Rich, Kitty City is unorthodox, right? It's a domestic violence driven, right? But it's unorthodox in how I deliver it. It's very violent. And the reason why I chose to do it that way
is because I see.
Yeah, I wanted people to I wanted people to start talking about domestic violence, right? Rich, domestic violence awareness is in October, right? But so is breast cancer awareness, which is also a very great cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of knocks domestic violence awareness out of the box. So people really don't talk about domestic violence. People consider domestic violence a problem for the person who's the victim. It's her problem. It's his problem. And so we don't talk about it. And so Kitty City is about a woman who is a survivor, conqueror of domestic violence, and she sees a lot of things that are going on in the city that she doesn't like. And by mistake, she takes on this epidemic. And and people get killed. There are a lot of people who die, and some people survive, and some people don't, because that's all a part of domestic violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have to show the depth sometimes to get people to understand the seriousness of it. And so people say to me, Rich, well, are you advocating violence? And my answer is yes, I am. Because I always say, it doesn't say domestic nice, does it? It's called domestic violence. And so we have to show the violence in order for people to keep talking about it. So Esther's song is one of those songs that's going to fit perfectly for our opening scene.
I'm so proud to be a part of it.
You should have sent it to us so we could have played it. At least got some little girl.
That would have been cool, right?
I don't know, Rich,
we should. I don't know, Rich. Then they'll know, Rich.
Yeah,
I want to surprise them.
Some things discreet.
Well, keep it a secret.
it's a great song.
like a hidden weapon.
Yeah, so
the
electric is going to fit in pretty well.
Okay, really we're going to bring on another cast, Miss. You say something, Storm?
Well, yeah, I just wanted, hi, everybody. Sorry, I'm in and out because I'm at a cheer competition. But I wanted to find out what's Esther's role that she plays in Kitty City. Like, when each caller comes on, they can say, like, their name, and then what role, what's their name, you know, and then what role they play.
I'm not a role.
She's just a songwriter she contributes songs to Kitty City for the soundtrack.
So for all the listeners that are listening in, Esther does the soundtrack. Right, because see, the goal is for everyone to know exactly what you do, like what's your role in it. You know, so Esther is. You know, she does the soundtrack. So.
Rich.
All right, sorry.
Esther does the music.
Yes.
Storm is the boss.
Oh, yeah, you see that, right? Yeah, you see that, right?
Wait.
She the boss.
Everybody online, listen. Storm is the boss.
Storm is the boss, huh? Yeah, hey. You know, I don't say nothing. She got me beat. You know, what time you coming home? Get here now. I'm here. I don't play no games.
That's how you're supposed to do.
Storm.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Storm. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is. Well, we're going to bring on the next caller for the cast. This is Fisher. Fisher, are you there?
Hey, Kitty, Kitty. Your ST
What's
is
up,
here.
What's up, baby?
What's up? What's up, what's up?
All right, Fisher. What role do you play? Like Storm said, she's the boss. What role do you play in Kitty City?
Okay, I played Detective Jake Johnson. I played Detective Jake Johnson in the series, one of the main detectives trying to take down Kitty. And got a kind of crazy backstory.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I've seen you. I think I know who you are. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I sometimes you can just look at a person and, you know, visualize, you know, that's a detective right there.
Yeah.
I don't know
exactly.
If you were the one running after the guy, but.
Yes, that was him.
Yeah.
You know, Rich, Joe was one of those. Joe was one of my first cast. We casted Joe in the summer of July, right, Joe? Joe comes all the way from Philly, right?
Jersey.
I always say Philly, but it's Jersey. But he comes like 2.5 hours from Jersey. And Joe was one of our first people casted. Like, he came in, he believed in my project, and he went hard for it, you know, and he still goes hard for Kitty City. And he's like one of these, you know, amazing guys. He was out there in the heat. No pay, no food. And, you know, he hung in there with me. He's still there. So I appreciate Joe a lot. He's a very amazing actor, too.
Appreciate that, wow. Kit.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I just came on to show some love to y'all. I mean, Kitty City is about to be the next big thing coming out right now. So I want everybody to stay tuned and watch out for it because we coming hard. We definitely coming hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Storm, is you there?
Love you, Joe.
Well, Storm is good.
Love you too, Kit.
Storm going in and out. Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I was trying to also post up in the forum. What was Joe's name again? It was Detective
Jake Johnson.
Okay, thank you. I'm just posting up in our GQ General Questions as well and trying to go in and out. So just bear with me, guys. But, yes, I am here.
Okay. We're going to bring on the next cast member. Corey, are you there?
Hi, hello.
Oh,
hi.
Hello,
hi,
Kitty. Hi, Corey, baby.
I love you guys.
Okay, Corey, let us know about you and your name, your role play, and what's going on with you in Kitty City.
In Kitty City, I play a character named Kay, who is a killing machine. And it is a total opposite from my personality.
Oh,
I'm very sweet, and Kay is very hardcore and determined, and she's something else. So it's a pleasure.
Well, she's Bonnie without Clyde. Uh-huh.
She's Bonnie without
Clyde. Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Rich, Corey is 16, right? And so Corey, she plays a 16-year-old girl who was victimized by her mom, and she joins the kitty, you know, the kitty scene, and she becomes a master at death, at killing.
Yes.
And this is so far away from Corey's personality, right? Kay is totally different from Corey, and that's what makes her such a great actress. Because, you know, when I say Corey, you got to say this, you got to curse. You got to cut his throat. She's like, okay. And she does it. And she does it well.
Oh.
You know, so she's, you know, she also came in. Her mom is a great support system for her. Corey is very talented. And she, you got look out for her because she's like really going to some big places. So I really am honored to have her on board with Kitty City.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, well, we don't know where Corey. We ain't done yet. The next person we got coming up is, if I say your name right, Deron?
Yep, Deron.
Okay,
all right.
What's going on, Deron? Let us know about you and what role you playing in.
All right, I'm Deron Dumas, and I play Dean, and I am the husband of the original Kitty. So I guess you could say my hands or what created the rest of the kitties, because I'm the one who hurt the original one to get all this started.
Yeah, he's the abuser. Which is also so unlike him.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. All right, so he's playing a part that really isn't his personality, but he's definitely the one that helped start everything.
Yeah.
In the role that he's playing. Okay.
Yeah. And Deron is a very well-known actor. He's been in a lot of things. He's well-known. And I met Deron through Joe. And what I love about Deron, well, first of all, everybody who comes on will not tell you this, right, Rich? But I get on everybody's nerves. everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody can't stand me at some point in their lives. Deal
yes,
with me.
That's true.
And boy, do I get on Deron's nerve. I get on his last nerve.
Yes, she does.
But he is, you know, he puts up with me, and I'm so appreciative of him, you know. He's a well-known actor, and I met him through Joe, and he came in, and he loved what I wrote, and he believes in my project, and so I'm blessed.
Yes, ma'am, so am I.
And he's always calling me ma'am like I'm old.
Yes, I have.
Can't stand it. He's constantly calling me ma'am.
I'm sorry. It's a habit.
All right.
Well, ma'am, we have another cast member.
I'm going to get you, Rick.
All right, Maine. How you doing, Maine?
What's good? This is Dino.
What's up, Dino?
What's good,
baby?
I'm here.
Kitty Cat, where you at?
What's up, baby?
Kitty, you know how you do get on everybody's nerves. You know you worked my last nerve on that damn set.
Listen. So that's Angie, right, and Bino. Listen, Rich, another thing about Kitty City. Kitty City started freaking relationships. We went in there to work, and people started getting married. What the hell?
Oh, well, we got a problem now. Wait a minute. Oh, no.
People started getting married.
Wait a minute.
So, Angie and Bino met on a set of Kitty City, and they've been together ever since. It's a great couple. Angie's my adopted daughter. I love her so much. And you know, she's there for me. I tell her, you know, when they go out, her and my little sister, they go out and they'll have their little drinks and they'll be drunk, and I don't care as long as they're on set at 7 o'clock.
I hear you.
Well, Angie said, I give no S. I don't care. You just be on set on time.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But they go hard for Kitty City. Bino's one of my Haitian actors. I love the Haitian crew. Shout out to Bumpy. We miss Bumpy. We love Bumpy. We miss him. We waiting for Bumpy.
Freedom Maid. Free Bumpy.
Yeah, but I love them. They're good people.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so my character is she kicks ass and she don't give a damn.
Oh.
Brutal. I'm Brutus. Nice to meet you.
So her character's name is Brutus. And
okay,
Brutus.
Yeah,
yeah, her character's name is Brutus. And Brutus is everything that Angie is. I think that she is the only one that I wrote in for her. Brutus takes no stuff. Brutus can be the abuser if you let her now. But she's one of Kitty's protectors, you know. She's one of Kitty's gun girls, you know. And so she goes hard. But that's a part of Angie's character, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Okay, we're going to bring on somebody else. Oh, Lord.
Let's see.
Angelique?
Yes, I'm
Hi,
here.
Hi, Angelique.
Hi,
right, no,
how
nobody,
are you?
Nobody leave. Okay, Angelique, what role you play in Kitty City? Let us know.
Okay, her name is Cassidy. And she's a bad mom. I mean, you're going to love to hate her. She's a spitfire. She's got some good qualities, but... And the character's opposite of me, but I do admire her, the hustle that she has in her. It's just that she's a little out there, I'll say that. Like I said, you're going to love to hate her, though. You will.
Yeah, wow. Angelique plays Kay's mom, Corey, who was just on. And Angelique, the great thing about Kitty City is we don't only talk about domestic violence. We talk about everyone's, like, what made people get to this point, right?
Right.
It's not just we have this man who's beating someone. We tell why he got to that point because I do want to humanize them, right? And
right.
I do that on purpose because I don't want people to think that I'm a male basher or I'm, you know, just want to go for the gusto of everyone who's abused, who's abusers. I want people to understand that it comes from somewhere. And even though we're not making it excuses for it, I do want to show where it comes from. And so Angelique plays one of those characters that was abused herself, and then she became an abuser. And that's a part, that's a reality, you know, Rich. Abusers, people, a victim sometimes becomes the abuser.
Right.
And so
yeah.
I show
right.
that in Kitty City, and Cassidy is one of, and Angelique plays Cassidy, who's one of those characters. But Cassidy, you know, you're going to love to hate her. And that's the great thing about her character. She's going to win. She's going to win an award for this, for sure.
Yeah, excellent. That would be great.
Excellent.
It just shows both sides, you know, like it's everybody does have a story. And
yeah.
hopefully with Cassidy, it's going to show like her transformation, which is what got my attention as well. You know, because everybody does have a story, and you get to see that outright. And hopefully the buck stops there, so to speak, with Cassidy. So her girls, you know, they don't end up doing the same things that happened to their mother. So it's going to be very interesting, really good, really challenging role, a very good role, and I'm, you know, honored and humbled to even be given this, you know, great opportunity.
Thank you, Angelique.
Okay, well,
no, you're
all
welcome.
Right, Angelique, don't go nowhere because we it ain't over yet. We still got.
I know. I'll be online.
Questions for y'all. All right. All right.
Okay.
Next one we got up is Jose. Jose, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Jose, don't sound so excited there, mother.
Yo, Jose came on like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
yeah,
my voice, sorry. That's my deep voice.
You sound like you about to pull something out the trunk. Hey, hey.
Oh, maybe. Most likely.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, Jose,
what's going on,
playing,
folks?
You know? All right.
I played Press Secretary Mark. I played the press secretary, Mark, and I'm very loyal to the mayor and married to the district attorney, who in real life is going to be my future wife. And I guess I'm a bit of a professional in the day and a vigilante at night sometimes. Depends on the contract.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Jose plays Mark. He is the press secretary for the mayor. And Jose does have another side to him because the mayor is an ally of Kitty. And the mayor of – she's the first female mayor of New York, and she's an ally of Kitty because her sister, her kid's sister, is being abused by the DA of New York. And so Jose plays this great part. But I met Jose online through Facebook.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy it, story.
Yeah, Jose, tell him the story about the dream.
Okay. Oh, my God. Listen, it was crazy. I don't know. I ran into her video on YouTube, like just scrolling through it one night. I didn't know who she was. But then I happened to have a dream with Kitty in my you know, and I didn't know her. So in the dream, I'm walking down a street. And, I just got out of filming. Because I'm an actor, SAG actor, and I look over to the right and I see an alleyway and I see people like a scuffle, but I knew it was they were filming because I see the setup. So then she starts walking towards me, and I say, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm filming something," you know, and she keeps walking. So I start, you know, "Oh, I'm an actor, just checking, you know, your stuff out." So she tells me, "Oh, if you want, you could come with me in, around the corner. We got like the holding area there." So I follow her, and I, you know, and she tells me she's directing a film and what so, you know, et cetera. So the ironic thing is, I twisted my ankle on the street walking towards the alley, and I remember it specifically because it was like cobblestone, you know, that old style, I guess like Gotham looking ground, like the yeah. So the next day I'm looking through my Facebook. And it says suggestions. Today's her birthday. I'm like, who? I'm like, wait a minute. That's the lady that was in my dream. So then I said, this shit might sound kind of creepy and all, But I got this shit is bothering me. So I hit her up on Messenger. I say, hey, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to creep you out, but I had a dream with you.
Oh,
yeah, and then she told me, by the way, I am writing a story. I am a director. I'm like, holy shit, this is fake. And, this is not real.
And then
she tells me, I'm filming on a street named Cobblestone. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. This is fake. This got to be, And then it started from there.
Yeah. And so Jose is, he's a SAG actor. And so Jose, he got all of these amazing, because I love my non-union work as a SAG actors as well. But SAG actors, it's difficult for them to work for a non-union project, right? And so Jose got all these SAG actors. They saw the trailer and they went crazy over it. And so Jose suggested that I apply for SAG, my film, my screenplay for SAG. Now, Rich, it's not easy to have your screenplay Mm-mm. accepted by SAG. Right?
No way.
And so it's very hard, right, Rich and Storm? And so, we went through the process and I got a call from SAG. And so I got a call from them and they said, that the SAG actors started calling them, asking them, was I SAG? Was my production SAG? Because they wanted to be a part of it. And that was it. I went full force. I submitted. What would have taken 3 weeks took what? 1 week, right?
Yeah.
It took 1 week for me to get a representative, and now I have a SAG ID. I am officially a signatory SAG producer.
Very big. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
It's huge. She has, she can do a lot now, and it's all approved, and tons of awards are just. Just in the reach.
Yeah. And we're going to win a SAG Award. We're going to all run on the stage. We're going to win it.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Nice. See, now that right there, that sounds great. Like to be able to dream it and then have it come true, that's kind of a fate. Excellent.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I still don't even believe it.
So I'm not sure if there's anyone, are there any other cast members to come on? Sorry, it might be a little loud. But are there any other cast members to come on the air? Or did we get everybody?
There might be one more.
Okay. All right. So then we're going to wait for
them. After I get off, they'll be calling in.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wait for them to call in. But also, so what's next? Kitty, what's next? What do you see going on next?
Well, let me tell you, we're gonna continue to film this, and we're looking to release this the summer of 2017. And I wrote three amazing screenplays that I'm looking to do. I'm looking to make SAG and do it. I have my true story crossover that I also am looking to do as a feature film. But I've been asked to direct the international film, I'm really excited about that. That was also a plug from Jose. He introduced me to this amazing woman, and so I'm looking to direct that international film, and I just want Storm and Rich. My goal is this, right? This is a hard industry, right? And I laugh a lot. I make a lot of jokes, but I have cried a lot, right, in my home. And the people who came online, they know. I cried a lot because this is a hard industry, right? You have people who are close to you, and they won't even help you. You have people
That's
who are
right.
well-connected, and they won't even help you. But what I did in the midst of me crying, right? Because I'm not afraid of anything, right?
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm not afraid to be hungry. I'm not afraid to be homeless. I'm not afraid of anything because when you almost die, right? Because I almost died that day, July 4th of 2000. I almost died, and death is a wonderful thing.
death is nothing to be afraid of. It's a wonderful thing. And once you reach that, there's nothing to fear, right? Nothing. Not even death scares me. And so when I cried in my home, because a lot of times people took advantage of me, people, you know, they didn't believe in me. I cried and I prayed, and God, and I have a saint who I believe in, Santa Marta. She sent these amazing people, and she and some people who were with me from the beginning, she kept with me, and some people who were with me from the beginning, she made leave, right? And so I have this amazing cast and crew. My little sister is my first camera. She was supposed to call in. I'm not sure what happened, but she's my baby sister. I used to change her diapers. Yes, I tell everyone that. I used to change her diapers, and she is my first camera. And she goes hard for me. And so I started praying, right? And God just, in Santa Marta, just started answering my prayers. And I just, you know, I got cameras. I got, you know, I got equipment. I got amazing, talented actors, right, who could be doing anything else, but they chose to believe in me and do my project. And so my goal is to make people's lives better. That's what I want to do. One thing, you know, I pat myself after Quentin Tarantino. I love Quentin Tarantino. I call myself Kitty Tarantino. I love him. I study him. And he's an amazing, amazing director. And everything I do it with him in mind. And I don't mind doing that. Some people say, oh, but you got to be yourself. I am me through Quentin Tarantino, right? And so, but I really love the way Tyler Perry uses his people, right? He constantly reinvents the character, his character. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to reinvent. I want people to be able to do another project of mine to be a different character, and so that they can still work, you know? They can still have an opportunity to win an award. So that's my goal in life, is to make sure that everyone around me eats, right? Because I know I'm going to eat, but I want to make sure everyone around me eats. And so if I stick to that, then success is there. It's there at my hand. There's no reason why, you know, we can't be successful together.
Well, I have a question for y'all. But first, we have a caller that I want to ask you something. But you was going to say something, Storm?
No. I was just saying that, you know, that she will definitely be successful in the way everything is going and how everything is set up. And I think it's wonderful for everyone to come together and do such an amazing work. I definitely, we support it, and I'm definitely, you know, we're going to share it as much as possible. Anything we can do to help you, just let us know. You know, we're definitely here for you as well.
All right. Storm Storm has been casted, y'all. Storm is in Kitty City.
Okay, wait. See. Now we got to talk about that. I'm hearing everybody getting married, doing your thing. I don't know about that. You know, everybody getting married, and that's mine. Hey.
Well, you got to come on set. You got to come on. Wait, Rich, you got to come limping on set right now because you got a daggone boot on your foot. So you got to just come limping on set.
Wow. Oh, man. But we definitely going to get to that. But we have somebody I want to ask you something. We have a caller for you, Kitty. We're going to bring them on. Hello,
okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hi, how are you?
I can.
Hi. Oh, my God, you almost got me in tears. First off, I must say you're an amazing woman to have been through what you've been through. And I just wanted to know, what was your initial feeling when, you know, you realized what had happened with you, you know, and your son?
Well, you know, I was in an abusive relationship for 10 years, but never in a million years. What's your name?
I'm T.
Never in a million years, T, would believe that he would have stabbed me, right?
Wow.
Punch me, hit me, kick me, spit on me. But never would I thought he would have stabbed me, and then let alone my son. So what did I think? I was in shock.
Wow.
You know. But I'm gonna try. You know, the ESPN story went into archive, and so we're trying. Me and the executive producer of ESPN, we're trying to pull it back so people can see it. But in the story, I talked my way out of it because when I was dying at the door, he was pacing, and I realized that I could not. I was ready to die, right? And so you said, "I'm saying my prayer of forgiveness. God, forgive me. Take me to your kingdom." And I heard God say, "No," right? And I said, "Well, I can't fight him." And from nowhere, and it's in my book. I heard this sound from behind my head, and then it came all the way around to the front of my face. And I swear to you, I saw Oprah. And Oprah said, "When you're in this situation, you either talk your way out or you fight your way out." And so I talked my way out. And so I was shocked, right? But that wasn't the end of it. I think the healing process, T, is the hardest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I have a scar on my face. You know, I am a beautiful woman. I'm gorgeous.
Yes, and
I don't say that just to hype myself up. I'm gorgeous. Can't nobody tell me I'm not. If they do, they got a problem.
There you go.
Right? But I have a scar on my face because of that, what happened. And so I had to build myself up. And a lot of times I didn't have anyone to help me. I had my sisters and they were there. But when you're alone in the dark by yourself at night, it's only you and God. Right, T? And so I had to build myself up by reminding myself that I am important. And so when I told Rich that I'm important, we laugh about it, but I'm really serious. I'm important.
You are. You're very important.
And so that's what I felt. I was initially shocked, but then the hard part was the hardest work was healing, T. Healing myself.
And you know, at the end of the day, you're never healed from it.
Well, that's not true, T.
That's not true.
What it is you don't want to look at it as that you're never healed from it. What you want to look at is that you, it's just something that you'll never forget, right?
Okay.
But when you say you'll never heal from it, that means that see, one of the things that we did was forgave him, not to forgive him to bring him into our life. But I had to forgive him because I didn't want him to be a part of my spirit. So if you can think of forgiveness as this, walking in unforgiveness, T, it's like sleeping with someone who you know has AIDS.
Wow.
Right? So what you're doing is you're taking that person into your spirit all day long, every day long. It's deadly. And I didn't want that. I didn't want him to be a part of me, so I forgave him. For me, because forgiveness is not for him, it's for me. And so you don't want to look at it as that you didn't heal. You just want to look at it as it's something that I'll never forget. But I'm healed from it because it doesn't control me anymore. I've used it for good.
Those words that you just said to me has made me think about healing mentally. I wasn't physically abused, but I was mentally abused. But those words right there, I'm gonna make them stick in my head.
Yeah,
and
you
I
should.
I know I'm gonna be all right, man. I know.
And look me up on Facebook. I'm Kitty Bay, KITTY BEY. Inbox me, and with whatever I can help you with, I will help you.
All right, hello, Storm. I miss you.
Hey, miss you too. How's everything?
Everything is everything. You're ready to go deal with that little baby. But most definitely, Kitty, I will be looking you up because you just made a big difference in my life in those few words.
Well, I'm honored, T.
I'm serious.
Storm
and Rich personally knows me, and they know some of the things I've been through. And like I said, it wasn't physically, but mentally, I have been, abused. And I'm getting ready to start my healing process tonight.
Good for you.
Tonight. Yes.
Well,
and
stay right there, too. We just have another call I want to bring on.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Kitty just called and said she had a question for you. Yes, you on the air.
Yes, hi, Kitty. This is Dave Stevens from Bristol, Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, that's Dave. That's my dude, Dave.
How are you?
Oh, what's going on, Dave? All right, well, he's in a...
Dave, I casted Dave for Kitty City. Dave is an amazing, 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 amazing man. Dave, tell them about yourself.
Well, this is your night. I don't want to take anything away from
you. No, I want you to tell them. I'm the boss. I'm the boss besides the fact that Storm is the boss. I'm the second boss tonight. Oh. Tell them about yourself. Look,
well,
We just totally threw Rich out of the picture.
They just threw me out. I'm gone.
Our paths crossed due to ESPN, obviously, that amazing feature that was done on you and your son. And, you know, we both had Martin Kotabasian in common and kind of turned us on to meeting each other. And, you know, my story is that I was born without legs, but I played minor league baseball and college football, and I've done all these things. And after I left ESPN, I've now become a full-time motivational speaker and still playing sports, just started playing hockey and, you know, trying to do my thing.
Wow.
But, you know, it's people like
you are now tuned in.
It's people like Kitty that really inspire me, that really, you know, have stories that are greater than mine, what she's overcome, yet what she's put together in a relatively short amount of time. And, praise God for, you know, the strength that she has and the people she's touching and reaching. And, you know, my question is, one, where do you find this strength to continue doing what you're doing? And two, where do you see Kitty City in 5 years?
You know, Dave, you know a lot about me. I find the strength from within myself, with God, Santa Marta, and the people around me, my cast and my crew, my family, and, you know, you included. That's where my children are amazing. My son is now in California. He's back and forth between Norway and California, plays ball. I have four other amazing children. My oldest daughter's in college, so I get the strength from them, right? Kitty City, I see Kitty City being one of the best, if not the best, TV series that ever hit the network. It's going to be amazing. And what do I see it in 5 years? I'm hoping that it would have passed on and we could have moved to something even better. And so that's why I see it. I see actors like you, people like you, and actors and amazing people just moving, using Kitty City to better themselves. That's why I see it.
Well, I know you're going to do it, and I'm so proud of you. And I've just watched you grow, you know, in the 2 years I've known you, and it's just awesome. You're just filled with awesome, you know, and love and talent.
I love you, Dave.
All right, Kitty. Take care. We'll talk
to
you soon.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Now, Kitty, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
I'm shouting the cast out right now. All right?
Okay.
Has there ever been anybody on the cast that you gave a role to that gave you a hard time?
No. Gosh, has it, guys? No.
I mean, not a hard time, but you have some cast members that, you know, they'll be like, okay, well, you tell them, all right, well, this is what I want you to do. Oh, no, I want to do it like this. No, but
well,
you tell them, no, I need you to
do
it.
Yeah, actually, yes, but those people are gone. Goodbye. Yes, you are right. But those yes, you're right. But those people are
gone.
That's
a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But you know, I'm actually the one. Angie always says, you know, Angie is she manages the set in itself. She makes sure that, you know, she does a clapper. She makes sure the set is together. She makes sure that, you know, everything is together before we start filming. And Angie always tells people right away, right, Rich?
the kitty that you know that's on the phone and that's in inbox like, hey, baby, hey, hey, I love you. That's not the kitty on set. Kitty on set, people don't like her. But
wow.
I have to be like that. I have to be like that in order to get what I need done. But so far, the people who are with me now, they love me. They understand. They know I get on their nerves, and they still come out the next day or the next 2 days or the next week and act like, you know, nothing. We argue on the phone. I get on their nerves. But they love me, you know. And so, and I love people like that. So those people, that was a great question, you know, Rich, but they're gone. It's thank
like,
God.
It's like that sister you want to kick off the top bunk bed.
Yes. Now, goodbye.
I have one question for all y'all, each of the cast members that's on the air. I'll state the name. What's the best thing and what's the worst thing that affiliates you with, like, wanting to do Kitty City?
You talking to everybody in general?
Yeah. That's a general question. Kitty, you too. So if you want to go first.
Well, the best thing and the worst thing about being in Kitty City, the best thing about doing Kitty City is the opportunity, right, to be one of the best directors in the world. And I'm going to be, if I'm not already am, right? The worst thing about being in Kitty City is that you become a target. You become a target. You become a target for a lot of things. A lot of times people, they set out they have bad intentions, right? They come into your life to have bad intentions. You become a target with other directors, producers, right? The competition level sometimes becomes so thick, right, that I pull out of it, right, and I just focus on Kitty City. Because a lot of times you get a lot of directors, producers who go inboxing you, right, and they inbox you for information so they can steal. So that's the worst part about doing Kitty City.
Okay. All right. Now, let me rephrase this for the cast members. All right. Now, I don't want to say Kitty City in general. As far as you being an actor, what's the worst thing and the best thing that you like about being an actor?
I don't know. I'll go real quick. The best thing is that you live in a dream. You're getting paid for fun, you know, to do something that's fun and that you always grew up. You still pay for to go see other actors in theaters. The worst part is treatment on set. Not kiddies. I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis, there's a lot of jerks and, like, people that treat you like crap on your way up, you know, and you just got to take it. And then doing opposite weather, being outside in the summer with a coat on because you got to play winter scene, or in the winter playing summer with no coat on. That's practically the worst as an actor that I can honestly say from experience, because I worked on multiple projects monthly.
Wow. I could say that's one of the things. Who want to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay, who are we speaking to?
Hi.
Hello, Chloe.
Hello?
Go ahead. We hear you. Hello. Go ahead. We hear you.
Corey? I have to say yes?
Oh, no, go ahead. I was making sure you're there. Go ahead.
The best thing about working with Kitty City is, I would say, the whole storyline behind it, like she says, because as a young girl, I'm not really fully aware. Like, they don't teach you all this stuff about domestic violence. And just being a part of the show really opens my eyes to the multiple things that could happen, actually. Because, as you know, as you grow up, they're not really aware of it. I learned from my mom. But actually seeing it happen and playing a role who has been abused has really, really opened my eyes. So I look at that as more of a positive outcome of being with Kitty City. And as for negative, I don't really have any negatives. I enjoy being there. I enjoy being an actress. and sitting in the cold for hours to redo the same scene over and over and over and over.
Listen,
Corey is hilarious. Listen, we just did a scene in the worst. Corey, both of the scenes that she's done so far, it has been brutally cold.
Fingers freezing.
Fingers almost falling off. Doing what she said, doing the same scene, take again, again, 50 times, again. Yeah. She's a trooper. Wow. Her, her and her mom, Nicole, they troopers. Oh,
but I have to go, guys. I have to go study.
Love you, all Corey. Right.
We love you, too. Say bye, Mom.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Bye, guys. Thank you for having us.
I wanted to say in general, you know, in general, working on Kitty's project is different for me than a regular project that I usually work on because I have just got out of a 16-year tumultuous, like horrendous relationship with, and it was like back and forth, domestic violence, and you know, I hooked up with Kitty and trying to learn through her from her experience and her character so I could build, you know, upon it and get stronger.
You know, Rich, a lot of people who are involved in Kitty City either have been victims of domestic violence or perpetrators, right? And I don't turn anybody away because they should learn from it. They're learning from it. And so everyone who's on my set, It's all love. It's just about working hard. Like Jose made something, you know, he's right. On a lot of sets, they treat it like garbage. And Kitty City is just different. Even though I'm kind of a rough person on set, I'm not that bad. But, you know, I'm a little stubborn, right? I really don't listen sometimes. I'm like, if I want something, I want it. But I don't mistreat people on set. Like, everybody, to me, is on one level. And I want it to stay like that. I want it to stay like that because even though, of course, things will change, Rich, as we get more money, of course, some things will change. But I always want to maintain that family atmosphere. That's what I want to maintain because it makes for a better film. It makes for a better TV series. It makes for a better life. When we stand on the stage and we win that Emmy, when we win that SAG award, it's going to be genuine when I turn around and say, these people behind me is the reason why I'm here. It's going to be genuine, you know?
Yep. All right. Well,
I still see. Friend.
I guess.
Okay.
I say the good and the bad. I say in general, being an actor, the good thing is always, you know, you get to either portray characters that you have never really lived or would never live. You know, you get to play different personalities that, you know, and you bring these characters to life. So, you know, the way you used to watch TV or still watch TV and be in awe how believable these characters are when they're not really, you know, they're just bringing them to life for you. Now, as far as the negativity, I would say, is sometimes it's your support system, the people who you would expect to believe in you. You got, you know, you have strangers that believe in you more than your own.
That's a fact right there.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it takes time. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've been doing this for 5 years now. I'm in over 30, you know, over 30 projects now, but it takes time. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're not on your team until it is a big name. Like, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I just did a movie with Vivica Fox and Quentin Aaron, Robert Lazzaro. So, you know, these big names. So it's, oh, you did that movie? I said, man, I did 15 other movies before that. This the one that caught your attention? So it's like, you know, everybody's on some coattail thing. As you rise, you get more, like we'll just call them fans, because you got people who've been next to you the whole ride and they've been on your team until they see that glimmer of light. So that's only negative. You know, I would say, I mean, I don't mind being on. So sometimes it's the distance, because the distance and that driving sometimes and then being there all day.
That's a fact.
Got to come back
different
home.
States.
Got to do it to you, too. But
Yeah, it's gonna go anywhere.
Exactly. It's more the people. The people can, you know, kind of shift your mood, and you know, have you wondering, you know, is this the right thing? Should I really continue doing this? But then you have, I don't want to call them strangers no more, but then you have people who are doing the same thing who push you. It's like, come on, man. It's like, do you see, you know, what you're doing, what you're accomplishing?
That's amazing.
Exactly. You know, three or four people throw your whole game off.
Yeah, that is a fact what you said. It's crazy how you meet new people that are willing to help you more than people you grew up with and have been there all your life. And it's like you can tell who's who.
Exactly.
You know, you meet people with the same dream. It could be a powerful thing. You know, everybody just team up together. You know,
yeah.
It just shows who's who and what you got to do. You all got to stick with your plan and believe in yourself.
Most definitely.
Exactly. Angelique, we see you in the cut trying to hide. So, Angelique, same question to you. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm sorry. I was looking at a script. Sorry about that.
same question.
Oh, hello?
To you.
I don't know. Well, as far as being, you know, on this set, as I think everyone else has pretty much said, you know, it's been a great experience so far. I have worked on, you know, other sets and inclement weather and all that stuff, and you know, and also sometimes you know, I have to deal with different attitudes sometimes, how you're treated unfairly or, you know, for whatever reason, or you feel like you don't belong or anything. But I have to say, you know, upon arriving on the, you know, Kitty City set, I felt welcomed, you know, and that's a great feeling, you know. So Kitty was very much nice as she is on the phone as she is in person. So I was really pleased about that. And so I don't have anything negative to say, but I can also say, though, overall that sometimes as you start becoming a little more recognized, that it's already happened to me with some other things, that sometimes people start, you know, try to be around you now before where they didn't have the time of day for you, or they say, oh, you've changed or this or that, and it's like, you know what, that comes with the territory. I haven't changed. I've grown, and that's pretty much how, you know, I look at things. So I'm pretty much, you know, looking forward to, you know, working with more of the cast and just seeing where, you know, this all takes us. So I'm just very grateful for this opportunity.
Okay, one more question. I know time is the essence of this, but I just need to ask you one more question. Kitty.
Yes.
This question is for you, okay? If you could choose any actor that's out now to play a role in your series, who would it be and why? And for the cast members, if y'all could act with anybody, who would it be and why?
Well, everybody's going to know the answer to that. Guys, I don't even have to say it. Who is it?
Quentin Tarantino.
I said one time on my set, Angie could tell you, I said, Angie, if Obama comes to the set, am I going to stop? She says, no. I said, who am I stopping for? She said, Quentin Tarantino. Listen, I am going to work with Quentin Tarantino. Like, he is, that's the person who I want. I would cast him. I would, you know, the only thing is, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to move. I just love him. So that's my answer, Quentin Tarantino.
I would like to work with The Rock.
Nice.
I mean, I ain't going to be obvious. So I would say Denzel, not because of everything he's done, but that man is full of knowledge and motivation. It's just sitting there with him. I mean, even just being in a scene with him. And then if you listen to his motivational speaking and how he gets a room pumped up, but he's calm the whole time, but he has a whole room amped just because of how he presents his words and how he pushes you to go after opportunities and basically, you know, lets you know you can do anything you put your mind to. So I like to work with him because even if we wasn't in front of the camera, I'd still be getting nuggets of knowledge from him the whole time.
Anybody else?
Anybody else want to go?
Well, I am. I'm the writer of a song on the soundtrack, but I'm also an actress, so I would like to put them together. I'm kind of torn between acting and singing and writing, so I would like to maybe always dream of. You might as well dream big. You know what I'm saying? I would like to do like a Loretta Lynn or something like that, a movie about one of the big artists in the older days.
Okay.
How about
Esther?
Like that?
Esther is our countrified singer. I love her.
Yes. That would be fun.
Gotcha.
Okay, all right. So that sounds good. Anybody else? All right, so I guess nobody else. All right, so let me ask. Kitty, if you could just take a minute and just give all the information out where they can, the YouTube information, your Instagram, your Twitter, whatever social media you have, if you want to give all that information out, so this way anyone that's looking to follow you can follow
sure.
you.
Sure. Well, we're not on YouTube. I decided to against YouTube because I just want to reach a little higher, right? I set my goals higher, and if we have to go lower, we'll go lower, but I don't want to set it low. I want to go high first. So we're not on YouTube. I chose not to do YouTube. And so, but you can find us on Facebook. You'll find me on Facebook at Kitty Bey, K-I-T-T-Y-B-E-Y. You can find me, the series on Facebook, Kitty Bey's Kitty City. On Instagram, we're also Kitty Bey's Kitty City. On Twitter, we're also Kitty Bey's Kitty City. And so you can find out all of the information there. You can see the trailer on Facebook. We chose to put the trailer on Facebook because I just didn't like the idea of having to pull people into YouTube to see it. People can go right on Facebook and see it. So we're at 15,200 views on the trailer. And so that's where you guys can find me. My book is called Crossover. You can find it in Barnes & Noble, or you can go online at Amazon and find it. It's called Kitty Bey's Crossover, and it's a true story about me and my son, and that's about it.
All right. So, and what is there anything next that you would like to let everybody know about? Anything that you're doing next within like this?
Well,
you know?
Yeah, of course. A couple of people have asked me to direct their series. They have screenplays that they asked me to direct, so I'm working on that. I also have two more projects that I completed. One called God Forbid, and the other called 21D. 21D is a science fiction series. And so after Kitty City, we're going to work on God Forbid, and then pick up 21D, because by the time we do 21D, we need money for that, y'all. I can't be doing. We can't do it halfway. It's the science fiction.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Money.
Work,
yeah.
Work,
but
work
by
together,
then we'll
work
have
hard,
money.
Work hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And just you know, right, I just wanted to tell people. I just wanted to tell people real quick. It's never too late to fulfill your dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
When people say, "How do you do it?" I dream and woke up and lost sleep. You gotta lose sleep to fulfill your dream.
That's right.
Most dedicated writer I know.
it's amazing what one somebody can do for so many people. So you have a wonderful testimony. Sorry. I was just saying that, you know, you have a wonderful testimony and you have a wonderful team behind you, and there's nothing whatsoever that you can't do. So I commend you. I thank you for for coming on the show. You know, of course, we are GQ Palace family, and we welcome you anytime. Rich Money, I'm going to keep going in and out. I do apologize, but I am here in spirit, and I'm still posting up.
Thank you.
All right.
Welcome.
All right. Well, Kitty, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all y'all for coming on this evening.
Thank you, Rich.
Really
this
do.
Was fun. It was really,
know,
really nice.
Back.
I'm excited.
You're welcome.
Yes. The big things don't happen. You know, everybody's back. come back, you know, let us know in the middle of the season or beforehand, even if you got artists you want to talk about or authors or anything like that. Kitty, you definitely going to make it big, and y'all cash, y'all whole family. Just don't let nobody tear y'all apart.
Thank you, baby. We're going to call you later because, Rich, I want to come back later when we have our music, when we have our soundtrack people down.
Sure. Yeah, we can play it on the air and everything.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
All right,
I love you guys. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Storm.
Great interview, Kitty.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Have a
good
night.
Good
night, night.
You too. Kitty
Enjoy.
Bay and the
Bye-bye.
Cash from Kitty City.
Woo.
Well, that's it for tonight's show. We want to thank the callers. Want to thank our guest, Laura Lee, up-and-coming artist, and Kitty Bay from Kitty City doing her thing. Storm, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's just really loud. I'm here, yes.
Okay. All right, all right. Well, at least I know you're there. All right. Well, you know, like I'm saying, that's
here.
It for tonight's show. Once again, everybody, make sure you look up Kitty Bay novel crossover. Barnes & Nobles and Amazon. And also, look for Kitty City coming soon, summer 2017. I meant to, something else. Actually, Kitty will be at the event on the 19th. I forgot to ask about that. It was getting so good. I do apologize to y'all. I forgot to ask about that. But yeah, she'll be there on the 19th. To talk about, you know, artists that she's also, you know, interviewing as well. But Storm, that's it for tonight. We going out. I think Storm is running in and out. I'm your host for tonight,
yes.
Rich Money. And please, if you want a domestic violence, please get out of it. Try your best to get out of it. I'm saying love is not supposed to hurt people. You know, just to put it out there. We honor
and forgiveness,
Kitty Bay for
and
everything
forgiveness
she's been through.
And forgiveness is for you. It's not for the person. Forgiveness is for the victim, it's not for the person. So therefore, always forgive for yourself. You'll never forget, but you can always forgive for your own peace.
Exactly. Exactly. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. This is Rich Money. We got Storm. Deku Palace Radio. Love and entertainment. Butter, baby.
You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, entertainment, with your host, Rich Money, and Storm, keep it locked.
Feels like I'm going down a one-way street, in every direction.